Welcome to the People of Bloomsbury podcast, the first book in the Curled Up and Cozy collection, narrated from the desk of the author, DJ Swales. Part 1, A New Day. Episode 7, Matcha. Though he usually preferred to write in one of Bloomsbury's cafes, Mallory Blunder sat at home, fine-tuning the script of his latest play. Yes, this is definitely the one, he said to himself, pleased with his writing, as he reached towards a silver saucer balanced on a nearby beanbag, which had been designed to look like an expensive leather pouf. Biting his tongue, he deliberated, before plucking the largest cube of a rose-flavoured Turkish delight. He held it between his lips for a moment, delaying gratification. After savouring and swallowing, he licked the icing sugar from his turquoise-painted fingernails. Unexpectedly, after swallowing, Mallory found himself having to chew again. The Turkish delight was an expensive kind, mixed and sprinkled with actual dried rose petals. The petals are a lovely idea in theory, he told his mother Doria on FaceTime, who winced as he chewed like a camel. But they scratch my throat and stick between my teeth. An empty box on his desk revealed that his throat's trauma hadn't slowed down his indulgence. Who keeps sending it? Asked Doria, perplexed on the small screen. I haven't a clue who sent them, he replied, knowing his mother was dying to learn the identity of his mysterious gift giver. In my line of work, I have always attracted many anonymous admirers. But how do they even know about you? You haven't even had one hit show, one that lasted anyway. Must be nice, she said, especially at your age. Her words struck Mallory's heart like arrows, a reminder of how his years alone seemed to be accelerating past him. He yearned for love, but had been let down by several false starts. He was consumed by his work, always assuring himself that he would take care of matters of the heart once he struck theatre gold. You mustn't let it upset you, Mother, said Mallory, putting on a smile before teasingly imparting a certain truth. I know you need me to be single and alone, so you can have me all to yourself. He was convinced she wanted his life to mirror that of Quentin Crisp, like that Englishman in New York, immortalized by Sting. Mallory lived in futile hope that true love would one day find him. Unlike Crisp, he wasn't pining for a tall, dark man, though he did have a weakness for long hair teamed with an exaggeratedly teased moustache. And rest assured, Mummy, he said, sighing, there'll never be another woman. You just need to meet the right girl, she said, ignoring the fact that Mallory had come out to her years before, in the family kitchen, while making a peach melba. What about that Irish lass, Lorna, on the top floor? She sounds lovely. She is lovely, said Mallory, but Mother, you know very well that she isn't my type. You could do worse, said Doria, who was so wrapped up in the tribulations of her own life that she frequently forgot important details in the lives of others, even her only surviving son. You'll never want for a meal, what with that wonderful Irish stew that you rave about. I already eat far too much of Lorna's stew. I'd blow up bigger than one of those balloons her Aunt Sheila wants to float around the world in. Oh, Sheila was so lovely, cooed his mother. I hope Lorna continues to make her proud. Perhaps with a new husband? You could team up and serve the stew at your performances. There are endless possibilities. Mother! Hissed Mallory, sighing as he reached for a nearby box of Turkish Delight. He was itching for more and tore off the tissue paper wrapping faster than a child at Christmas. At your age, marriage is more about companionship than anything else, Doria explained, ignoring Mallory's remonstration and the filthy look he gave his phone screen. Your days of dirty weekends in Brighton, crossing off each act of the Kama Sutra, are long gone. Mother, do you mind? I'm eating, he replied, while internally rejecting her limiting beliefs about intimacy. He saw himself as an incredibly sensual being, currently in a state of temporary incubation, perfection even. I'm like a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico waiting to happen, he thought. Once I make landfall, watch out. Every week for the past 3 months, Turkish Delight had arrived on Mallory's door. Empty boxes from Fortnum & Mason, Selfridges and Harrods were stacked on one of his walnut side tables. The latest box had arrived by airmail from an exclusive trader in Trabzon, Anatolia. I prefer to call the city by its old Byzantine name of Trebizond, Mallory mansplained to his mother, speaking over her on matters of medieval Anatolian history. As Doria shrugged her shoulders with indifference, Mallory stretched open his mouth like a python and picked pink rose petal fragments from between his teeth. I really wish you wouldn't. Not when I'm still on the line, she said, as Mallory gargled with a mouthful of cold ceremonial-grade matcha tea. I could almost see what you had for breakfast. You're not the first person to say that, he replied, smiling wryly. God help us, said Doria, followed by a protracted sigh. Mallory smiled with as much saccharine as a Manx cat that got to keep its tail. Goodbye, Mother. I'd love to say it was a pleasure. But when will I hear from you again? Doria asked, panic-stricken. This evening, as usual, replied Mallory, rolling his eyes at his mother's flair for drama, which he had not only inherited, but compounded. But you didn't tell me the weather forecast yet. The suspense is torture. Will Torquay be hit by storms? Could I die tonight? No storms for at least a month, said Mallory, watching his mother melt into beatific serenity. He had paid to have her house connected to high-speed internet, but she refused to use it, instead relying on him for any meteorological update, which she clung to daily due to her living arrangements. Let's hope there'll be no metaphysical storms either, she said in the next moment, sighing and fidgeting with preoccupied angst. There's been something in the air of late. I can't quite put my finger on it, but Mrs. Falabella down the road insists that she can smell old fairy magic. Oh, what does it smell like? Mallory feigned fascination, casting an eye at his Turkish delight. Mothballs, dirty socks, mouldy bread. Depends on the day, apparently. Sometimes like burnt kippers, sometimes like overly toasted marshmallows. Mallory saw a question burning like a shrine candle in her aging eyes. Speak, he said. I can hear the cogs spinning in your mind, Mother. You will let me know if you manage to get a ticket to consult with Josie, won't you? We must be forewarned if this next show is to join your string of disasters. Honestly, I feel like I'll be dead before I get to enjoy the fruits of your success. Mother, you'll outlive the Greek gods themselves, said Mallory, half wishing he could transport her to Mount Olympus. "What's the name of this latest show you're working on?" his mother asked. "The One-Eyed Willy." "The One-Eyed Wonder," retorted Mallory indignantly. "And what do you mean by string of disasters? If my shows are a string of anything, then they are a necklace of magnificent South Sea pearls decorating the neck of the West End. Several critics said they brought back the glory days of theatre, and stated how I challenged my audiences to question the fundamentals of everything they held dear and true." "Hmm," said Doria, "that's a rather optimistic way of translating how they said only the dead could appreciate your work, and that by the time the curtain fell, the audience had given up the will to live." Mallory gasped as she spoke. "The local critics said the same thing down here in Torquay, in the local paper," Doria continued, masking her enjoyment with a sympathetic tone. "Oh, please," said Mallory, his face looking like he had just sucked a lemon. His flawless quiff quivered, almost shattering the hair lacquer that was as thick as lava. "The Torquay Tatler just quoted that awful man, Billy Slapper, a critic who would have even slated Shakespeare back in the day. The Tatler team wouldn't know the avant-garde if Billy Slapper slapped them upside the face with a large halibut." "What a horrible man he was," said Doria. "Remember his pinched face and those eyes, always scheming, always judging. Not to mention that insufferable walk he puts on before every show, after making sure everyone else is seated. He insists the lights are kept on until he has made his way, like a funeral march, to the very front row seat, where he takes his place on the aisle with his pet ferret next to him." "But everyone quakes at his presence. His words in print can make or break a show," said Doria. "Mother, take comfort in the fact that they have never built a statue to a critic, and they never will. Billy Slapper has always had it in for me, but his reign at the London Theatre Times may soon be at an end." "What happened?" asked his mother, shocked by the news. "Tell me, before my phone dies," she demanded. "I'm down to 1%. "I take no pleasure whatsoever in informing you that Billy Slapper has a terrible infection which shows no signs of abating." "An infection?" asked Doria, who was most conflicted by the news. If anything could improve Mallory's chances of getting a good review, it was the early retirement of Billy Slapper. "Yes, he took to dressing his ferret up like a child and leading it around Soho on a leash, making films for YouTube. Well, it all got out of hand. He became intoxicated by the millions of fans and all the daily cash transfers that arrived for a new ferret charity he swore that he was founding." "Well, I never. A ferret charity. Maybe you can start one," said Doria, already counting the donations in her head. "Well, disaster struck. Poor Billy Slapper forgot to change the ferret's nappy one too many times." "But they are fastidiously clean animals," said Doria. "Exactly. One day, outside Ronnie Scott's jazz club, the poor animal snapped and turned on him." "Good gracious," said Doria, her eyes flashing with what should have looked like concern. "I wonder if he will get better. It doesn't look good, said Mallory. This is an incredibly dangerous situation, said Doria. I know, said Mallory. That's obvious to everyone, especially Billy Slapper. No, I meant for you. Why me? Asked Mallory, his face wrinkled in confusion. If Billy Slapper recovers, he is likely to emerge from this even meaner, said Doria, wisdom flowing from her like melted cheese. He will have a craving for vengeance on the world, just as the one-eyed Willy is premiering. You must send him a Get Well Soon card, today, and make sure you write a very sentimental note, really layer it on. Sentimental? To the man who has always tried to destroy me. Mother, you really have lost the plot. I'd be more likely to do some voodoo to hasten his retirement. Think about it, Mallory. No one will be sending him cards. This would mark you out. Yes, back in his firing line, said Mallory, though he started to come around to the idea. Mark my words, this is an opportunity, said Doria. Get on it at once. Thank you for joining me, DJ Swales, on my podcast and today's reading from my upcoming book, People of Bloomsbury. I really appreciate all of the support my listeners give me on Patreon and buying my books, and I hope you'll join me for the next episode. Thank you so much.